Thank you. And now we'll have greetings from Mana. So we give thanks for the Mana children and all the presentation they've just given us. Today we want to return to studying the Bible Word. We are going to be studying from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. So, together, let us read from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the world's Lord's will is. A pastor who, in some sense, I adored, but certainly respected and admired very much, developed cancer sometime after he retired as a pastor. He started out with lung cancer, and it metastasized over the next 3.5 years to prostate cancer and thyroid cancer. These are all very serious. He had nausea and vomiting, hair loss, and all of the usual uncomfortable anti-cancer treatments. And so his body, mind, and soul were all exhausted, angry, frustrated, and depressed. He searched YouTube videos to learn about cancer treatments and researched cancer in books. But the more he filled his days with knowledge about cancer, the more his soul withered. But he was working in a church as a pastor. And when he read the Bible every day in the morning in order to preach that day, he was encouraged, delighted, and filled with joy and happiness at the words of the Bible. And he said to himself, "This life may not be long anymore." I will not end it filled with cancer. I will be filled with the Word of God once again, and I will feel the joy of sharing the Word of God with people until the end of my life. To fulfill this, every morning he began to preach the Word of the Bible on YouTube, every morning at 5:30 a.m. I watched that feed from time to time, and I just recently celebrated the 5th anniversary of YouTube preaching of the Word on that feed. But during this time, he has been fighting a difficult illness, and finally, in the middle of the last year, he received a doctor's diagnosis that he is in complete remission for the moment, anyway, and he is joyfully sending out the preaching of God's Bible Word every day, even now. At his lowest point, the words that this teacher encountered and came to him as a new voice of God were the words of today's scripture, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. The voice of God came to him. It said, "You can't continue this way. Do not be foolish. Make full use of your opportunities, not as one without wisdom, but as one who has wisdom." And he said to himself, "Being angry, frustrated, and depressed only worsens my relationships with everyone else. It will take some time for me to recover from that, but it's frustrating to lose precious lifetime to such things. So God, please help me with my irritation and frustration." That was his prayer. So, if God's words to this pastor were, "As a man of wisdom, make full use of your opportunities," what does it mean to make full use of your opportunities? It's very common that when we say opportunity, 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 we mean don't miss the opportunity or chance. I heard a school teacher say this, and I think I've heard it even in a worship sermon at some church. Every person has 3 big opportunities in life, this says. It comes with long bushy bangs, but the back of your head is peeling, and if you try to grab the back of your head, it is already too late, and you will not be able to grab it. So when this opportunity comes, you should be able to seize it. And I thought quite vaguely, that's right, when there's an opportunity, you must take it. But the Word of God says something different. We can speak from the premise that there already is opportunity out there to take full advantage The word tells us opportunity is not something that must be seized and captured. It is there. It has been given to us. I felt as if I were beginning profound enlightenment. And I said from my soul, oh yes. An opportunity that will disappear is not seized. An opportunity that must be seized. An opportunity that comes only 3 times. This is fake gift. It's a falsehood. Our lives are not determined by just 3 opportunities. An opportunity is not something that must be seized. Opportunity, chance, is something that the Lord God is giving us continuously at all times. If I were to use this as an analogy, I wonder if I could compare it to a water tap in the house. Or a dam, a river, a lake, or a reservoir. It is connected to our home faucet on a pipeline that carries water. But how many minutes after we twist the tap in our home does the water come out? How long does it take for the water to come out? This question is an odd question, don't you think? It comes out immediately. Water comes out as soon as you twist the tap. So what does this mean? It means that the water is flowing uninterruptedly from the big place where there is water, whether it is a river or a dam, to the end of our water tap, which chokes it off until we need it. The truth about God is that He is continuously, constantly filling our lives with His grace, blessings, and opportunities, and leaving no part untouched. In the English Bible, the word that is translated as grace is also translated as unfailing love. It is love that never fails. Love that never ceases. Love that never runs out. This is God's grace, God's love. So, opportunities are not something that you have to wait for and seize when they come by. But they're already ready to come out if you just twist the faucet. You just have to twist the faucet to get them out. You just have to recognize that the faucet is closed because you left it that way. But I also think that perhaps we are wasting an opportunity when the faucet is turned off. It seems to me he is telling us to be a wise person who takes full advantage of opportunities in order to live happily, abundantly, and better. Do not wait for the back of the head opportunities that must be seized, but take advantage of the full advantage of the opportunities that have already been given to you. But does that make sense? Opportunities that already exist, that are already given, are opportunities really filling my life? Is my life full of them? I don't think I agree. Because the pastor I mentioned earlier had 3 different kinds of cancer. What is the occasion of the disease of cancer? If the patient is cured or in remission, we can say, another opportunity has come and been given. But what opportunity or chance is given to us in the midst of a painful struggle against illness? What opportunity is God giving us when we are right now in the midst of much hardship, hurt, and difficulty, failing businesses, failing exams, suffering accidents and calamities? But something is different. Something is not quite accurate here. God is not a gibberish. The word is not a confusion. Opportunities that already exist. My life is indeed full of opportunities, and God has prepared a way out for me at every moment in my trials, teaching me how to do it, and that the will of the Lord God is in that place where I will live through the problems I face. How then can we make good use of the opportunities that have already been given to us? The important words are in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, which reads, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The important phrase is, realize what the will of the Lord is. The Lord's will is the will of the God, of Lord in all things. God never leaves any of us alone. He talks about it from the beginning to the end of the Bible's word. So let's look at Psalm 33, verse 13 to 15. Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. So now let us look at Acts chapter 17, verses 25 to 28. Acts 17, 25 to 28. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. The Lord God is not one to leave anyone alone. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord's rod and staff will go with us. He speaks and teaches in a place like the valley of the shadow of death. And yet he will show us the method by which we can solve the problem. He gives us the means to every end. If you become enlightened, if you realize the word of God and the will of God, you will know that a way of escape is provided for you in every walk of life. And you will remember your freedom. And so the valley of the shadow of death changes and becomes an opportunity. In the words of Psalm 119, it was a blessing for me to be in suffering. I have learned your statutes because of it. You are the one who is good and merciful. They say that when they were suffering, when they learned God's word, when they realized their word, their suffering became a benefit and an opportunity. If we always think of and try to achieve realization of the will of God, everything becomes an opportunity. As in Romans, all things work together for good for those who love God. So for us, there is no need to wait for opportunities. If we realize God's will through his word and do as he wills, even suffering will become an opportunity and a blessing. When I am faced with a dark and difficult time, when there is no one to help me, when there cannot be anyone to help me, what I do is put my Bible on my desk, set a pen and a notepad there, pray a word of prayer in the sense of waiting, and as I wait, open the Bible and read. When I have my head in my hands and all I can do is groan and feel crushed by anxiety and fear, I just open the Bible. Then the words of that God, of whom I am reading, come to me as if they were my words. And the words from the Bible, other than the part that I am reading at that time, may also come to my mind. And then I can write, this is my memory. And if you do this, if you have experienced this, don't you feel as though light has poured into your life and into the room? Or is it dark? And often it's darker for me, because my thoughts and ideas are different from God's thoughts and ideas. The Lord's will is for us to go down a narrow path, a path that makes us take up crosses. Isn't that so? And through the words of the Bible, through prayer, I realized and searched for it, and God said, here is the answer. But when I looked at the answer, I said, oh Lord, do you want me to live or do you want me to die? Are you commanding me to die? You have shown me the way, you have opened the way, but it's not a broad way, it's a narrow way. There are times when I say, oh Lord, do you command me to live or to die? But at such times, I have to believe in God. I don't try to understand God. I don't even try. But I moan again. I believe that you, Lord, are righteous, but I don't understand. I do not understand. You have shown me a path that is too painful and difficult, but it is the only path there is, the only path for me. Jesus, Lord Jesus, let me follow this path. Let me live in this path, and so I pray. And as I continue on this path, I can receive the grace that is appropriate for each moment, and I gradually come to the thought, I want to solve what I am facing in the way that God wants me to solve it. In the Old Testament, Esther solves the problem she faces in a way that realizes God will. If I must die, I will die, she says. But then something surprising happens. Jesus talks to us, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in Deuteronomy it says, for 3 days the people were in total darkness, unable to see one another or to stand from where they were. But to all the children of Israel there was light where they lived. I can't be more specific. I have many testimonies that I could give, and I'm sure you have one too. So, being in pain becomes an opportunity, even a blessing. It is a testimony, it is a blessing, and I realize that it will be an opportunity for my own life. Dearly beloved, do we live our lives waiting for opportunities? Perhaps that is not taking advantage of the opportunity. That opportunity is already and always in our ordinary everyday lives. There are hardships, adversities. There are successes, but also failures. Yet if we realize God's will in the midst of it all, everything becomes an opportunity and a blessing, and there is no waste or futility in our lives. But if we are victorious, if we are successful, if things go well, if we are fortunate in the world, but we fail to ask God's will, we do not realize what God's will is, then it becomes anger, frustration, contestation, and it is our detriment to our lives. If you look at Luke 12, you will see the story of the foolish man. He experienced an unparalleled harvest and even built a new large warehouse to store the resulting crops, as if they were piled on top of each other. And he said to his soul, "Perhaps I am not a good person, but I have saved up enough for many years to come. Now I can rest, eat, drink, and enjoy." So let's look at Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Why did God make me so wealthy? Why did he give me such a great harvest? But I did not ask the Lord God, 'Why did God give me such a great harvest?' I thought only of my soul, following only my own desires. This man had been given such special wealth, he could say, 'My soul, now rest, eat, drink, and enjoy.' He had been given such special wealth that he could say, 'Eat, drink, and enjoy,' but it became a curse for him, because that night life was taken away from him." So what is the term good living? What does it mean to live a good life? What does it mean to live a happy life? We believe that to live a good life, to live a happy life, and to live abundantly is to realize God's will through his word. And that will fully use the opportunities that already exist. And this is the way of the wise, the true good life. It is the only way. This is what the Bible teaches us. In God's word, in Jesus' word, there is the will of God. In God's word, in Jesus' words, the path for us to follow is written concretely. He teaches us specifically how to live this day better than anyone has lived it before. Unfortunately, there's a saying, "It is easier said than done." But I also believe that the words of the Bible are, "It may be easier said than done, but is yet harder to live." If you hear it, no matter how difficult it is, if you close your eyes and begin to go on, then all your steps, my beloved brothers and sisters, will be full of opportunities. You know, if you're in the canals that distribute water to the fields, if you step into them, you will be taken by the torrent. And this is how doing God's word is for us. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Even difficulties, even pain, even suffering can be and are opportunities for blessing. We cannot help that but believe that we will then be the people who are truly living the good life, who are taking full advantage of opportunities and walking through our lives as wise people, even as things seem to be nothing but difficulties and reverses. I pray that we, that all of you, will always realize God's will and live in God's way. Always rejoice and experience victory in the Lord Jesus. And ask of God, ask of His Spirit, what is His will? And you will be shown the way. If the path is shown to you, then continue on that path. There will be no difficulty you cannot overcome, and abundant opportunities and blessings will be given to you. So let us pray.